My name is Terry W., and I am from Massachusetts, and I am a recovered anorexic, bulimic, compulsive overeater. And, you know, a lot of people ask, you know, what does recovered mean? And typically, you know, we hear that a lot. And what that refers to is that I have been through the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous of the Big Book, and I have experienced a spiritual experience or a spiritual awakening. I've had two, and that the thoughts of food have been taken away from me and they've been lifted. And just to start off real quick, I'll give you a brief background. I believe I was born with this disease. When I was three, I would climb shelves and eat baby aspirin in my grandmother's house. And I remember eating a whole bottle of vitamins. And when I got a little older, I started eating my toys. I had a plastic toy. And I can remember hiding in this little closet. It was a large plastic toy. And I remember just eating all the plastic off it and coming out of the closet so proud, holding up that wire, going, "Mommy, look, I ate my toy. I ate my toy." And, you know, I can remember trying to swallow that vividly. It was just so hard to swallow that plastic. So I don't think that was kind of normal for, you know, a child to be engaging in those behaviors that young. And I ate so much food. My grandmother had candies and I would just go sneak and get some. And I remember after dinner time, I would always, always sneak and get three times more the dessert than everybody else had. So food was a pretty, you know, substantial thing in my life. I never gained weight because I was a gymnast and I was doing gymnastics 5-6 nights a week. And then I was a professional bodybuilder. So I did that 6 nights a week, 3 hours a night for 6 years. So I really never gained a pound until my disease really started acting up. And I would say that I didn't really start acting with bulimia anorexia until I was in my late 20s, early 30s. And I think what sparked it is around the time my grandmother passed away. And I also was dating someone for 16 years on and off, and they kept dumping me. And, you know, whatever the case may be, my disease started later in life acting up. I'll explain what I was like when I was anorexic. You know, I'd get up at 5 in the morning. And I would bundle up real tight because it gets very cold in Boston. I remember it gets like below 4 degrees, and I would go for a walk. And, you know, it started off like my car broke down, so I'd walk to work a half hour and back. And then that became, well, I need to walk a lot more than that. So it ended up being 5 miles a day. So I would wake up and walk maybe 2 miles before work, come home, shower, and then walk again. So it became obsessive compulsive, my walking behavior. And I missed, I think, 2 days in 5 years. Like, it was obsessive. And it could be pouring rain, thundering on top of me, and I would have to walk. And one of the things I always was ashamed of is that I used to take so many laxatives. It was ridiculous. And, you know, I would have to go to the bathroom on my walks. And there was no way I could hold it, because I took boxes and boxes and boxes of laxatives. And, you know, I can remember vividly going on walks and having to like hide behind a tree or, you know, hiding somewhere to just go to the bathroom because I couldn't stop it. And, you know, the laxative abuse was really sad. I'll never forget. I was in a drugstore once getting something and I just stood there and I could not get to a bathroom in time. And I just stood there and just went to the bathroom all over myself. I mean, how morbidly disgusting and embarrassing is that? But you know what? I had to take those laxatives no matter what, like boxes and boxes of those. So I did, you know, however humiliated I got, it didn't matter. I weighed myself 5 or 6 times a day. You know, I really isolated. I wouldn't answer the phone. My friends would come over and knock on the door. I wouldn't answer the door. I mean, everybody in my life, I just threw them away. I just wanted to be alone and isolate and be by myself. I wouldn't communicate with anyone. I was down to about 71, 72 pounds. And where I worked at the time, my boss's father was a tailor, so he could like fit all my clothes. So I could actually fit into my clothes. But, you know, as I walked back and forth to work every day, I would just cry hysterically, just cry and cry and cry. You know, my life was so dark and I just wanted to die. It was horrible. I was just so sad. And it became pretty serious where it's like, I could not function. I mean, well, I thought I could function very well, but I really couldn't. I chewed like 20 to 30 packs of gum a day. I would put food in my mouth and pretend I was eating it, and I'd spit it all out in a napkin. Like I would not swallow food. And I lived on like tea and chewing gum for like a year and a half. And the doctors are like, I don't know how you're alive. But so, you know, when I was anorexic, it was really horrible. But I didn't think anything was wrong with me when I was anorexic. I just thought I was fat, you know. But then the horror came where my mother said, you know, can I come over and walk with you? And I'm like, sure, if you want to walk, I'll see you. And I opened the door. There's like 7 or 8 people standing there who wanted to commit me to an eating disorder clinic. And, you know, I promised I gained 10 pounds and I was get my life together. And they left me alone and didn't bring me to the hospital. But, you know, after a while, I knew that I had to be, I needed help. And, you know, what's even sad, I got into an eating disorder clinic and I was there 5 to 10 minutes. You know why? Because I was too sick to be in an eating disorder clinic. They took my bloods and they rushed me to the emergency room immediately because I was going to have a heart attack. So I was too sick to even be in an eating disorder clinic. But as I said, anorexia wasn't bad because I just thought I was fat. It's the bulimia that brought me to the gates of hell. I don't wish that. I know some of us here are bulimic. It's just the most horrific thing. I would have throw up in my hair, on my coat, in my clothes. I would throw up anywhere. Disgusting toilets. And, you know, I ate $130 worth of food a day. And it became such a routine that all I could do was eat and throw up. My life consisted of getting up at 4 in the morning, calling the bakeries, getting everything I needed, setting everything up, spend all day shopping. And I would eat and throw up till like 1 in the morning. And then I would spray Windex and Clorox on my food and throw it away and be like, thank God. And I'd go right back in the trash and eat it with all those chemicals on it. I didn't care. But, you know, the food controlled my life. That's what it came down to. And that's what scared me because all these years it was like, okay, you know, I could kind of function, but not really. I mean, I got fired from my job. They repossessed my car. They were turning off my heat. I was 4 months behind in my rent. It got worse and worse and worse. But as I said, the food controlled me. And, you know, we talk about the the bedevilments. They're on page 52 in the big book. And, you know, if we look at those real quick, it says, do we have trouble with personal relationships? Oh, yeah. We couldn't control our emotional natures. No. Were we prey to misery and depression? Yes. We couldn't make a living? Absolutely not. Had a feeling of uselessness? I was a nothing. Were we full of fear? Yes. Were we unhappy? Yes. And we couldn't seem to be help of any other people. I mean, I couldn't help anybody else. And I lived in these bedevilments. It was so sad. So this is what my life was composed of, is just food, food, food. You know, and then I decided, I was so afraid that I had no more control over my food and it was controlling my life, that I went to an OA meeting. My sister took me and I said, this is stupid. No one here is skinny like me or fat like me, whichever I was in, whatever phase I was in. I didn't feel like I fit in. And plus everyone was 3 times my age. I mean, they were all older women and I didn't feel like I fit in. But someone grabbed my hand and they said, I'm sponsoring you. You're going to do what I tell you to do. And I said, you know what? My way is not working. So I was very willing to just say, okay. And I shut my mouth. And we call this the hospitalization period today, where we don't go to restaurants when we first begin. We don't date someone new. We don't start off new things in our life. But, you know, it was a time that I was just willing to let go and let God. And I remember my first meal was on a Christmas morning. And, you know, like I sponsor a lot of anorexics. And those of us that are anorexics, we are petrified to eat. And a lot of sponsors just don't get that. I mean, horrified. Christmas morning, I had my first meal, which was 2 eggs, a banana, and wheat germ. And it took me 2 hours to eat that. That was the most horrifying day of my life. But you know what? I just let go and let God. Just told my hand and I did it. But you know what I really want to stress is that I thought I was anorexic and bulimic because my father was in prison. He died in prison when I was like 9. My mother told me I was stupid. Don't apply to college. No one's going to take you. I was molested. I was punished if anything good happened to me, and that's why I was anorexic and bulimic. But you know what? That's not why. The real reason I was eating is because I have all human beings have emotions. I have, I think, anger, shame, guilt, jealousy. But because we have human emotions, we grab the first thing that gives us ease and comfort. And for me, that's food. So I get an amazing effect when I put food in my mouth. That's sugar or flour, which I'm allergic to. And by the way, that effect I get lasts like 7 seconds. So food is not my problem. I use food for the solution to my problem. My problem is, as it says right in the big book, in the doctor's opinion, that I have an allergy of the body and a mental obsession of the mind. When I you know, I heard that over and over for years, but when I finally clicked, I have an allergy. You mean I'm not stupid? It's not my fault. I'm not ignorant. I'm not dumb. I'm not stupid. That was like 1,000 pounds lifted off my shoulders. Like, this is not my fault. I have an allergy and a mental obsession. I'm just wired differently than everybody else. And, you know, my friends will put something in their mouth and they'll go about their whole day. I'll put that same thing in my mouth. And you know what? I'm done. I'm on a binge for 4 or 5 hours. I just have to leave wherever I am. So I just want to say what the problem is that I'm powerless and I want to be relieved of this obsession. The solution is a power greater than myself. And I get there by following the instructions in the big book. The big book is an instruction manual. It's not a story. It's an instructional manual. And if we follow it precisely, we recover. You know, so I had this big dark hole in my heart my whole life. And, you know, you looked at me. I have really pretty blue eyes today. They used to be jet black. I walked around like I was dead. And people would say, oh, you have cancer. Is she dying? What's wrong with her? And I had this big black hole and I just kept putting food in it and food and food and food and food. And it didn't make a difference. I couldn't stop. And today, you know, I co-create my relationship with my God today. All throughout the day, I'm like, where's God in this? God, is there anything blocking me from you? Do I have any resentments, anger, fear? My whole day is with God, spends his whole day with me. I ask God to go in front of me, behind me, beside me, and take care of me. And today I put God in my heart and fill that empty black hole. I reach for God every single day, no matter what, and put him in my heart. You know, and it's like today, you know, it's like, what is my purpose? I love that I'm a compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimic. I am so grateful because you know why? I can help other people. And I sponsor women, I mean, that couldn't even make it through one day without throwing up 10 hours. And we can recover. It's just a matter of trusting and believing that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Thank you. And even in the big book, it doesn't say we have to believe in God. It says we have to believe in something greater than ourselves or bigger than ourselves that can restore us to sanity. That's another 1,000 pound weight off my shoulders. And, you know, a lot of people were brought up with a punishing God and, a really horrible God. And you know what? Fire that God. Hire a new God and create your own, a loving, caring God. And, you know, to end, it's like, it's so important that we teach younger people about anorexia and bulimia, because I have no teeth today in my upper top of my mouth. And I have no teeth at all on my bottom left. So I only have these front teeth. And people don't know that. But still, it's like I can't even get implants because my bone is so thin. So I don't even have that option. And I can't swallow a lot of food. I can't digest lettuce. And you know what? I lost my period and I never got it back. And I couldn't have kids. So it's just really important that we let the younger people know about what happens to us, these horrible effects. But the gift today is that I can trust and let go and let God and know that my way does not work. And you know what? I ask for help. You know, get your tribe together, get your posse of your favorite people together, trust people and talk to them. And don't be afraid to share, because we've all been through these crazy things and we're all here for each other. And I'm always here for all of you. And I hope that you know that. And give me a call, put my name in the chat. And thank you so much for letting me be here today. It's really, I appreciate it. Thank you.